love Might Delete Later.
I bloody hope you do. You can support our show by using the new Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment.
Just smash that link in the show description and support us now so we can keep making this podcast.
Thank you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Might Delete Later, the show where we look at our favourite people's social media feeds and ask them, why did you tweet that?
I'm Gina and I really like social media.
And I'm Gina's sister, Stevie, and I hate it. This episode, which was recorded before the lockdown, very crucial, is with one of my favourite comedians and great friends, Philip Wang, also known as Phil Wang. Phil's been on TV loads, from 8 out of 10 Cats to Countdown to Taskmaster and Live at the Apollo. And he also did an excellent viral video based on that weird Tom Hiddleston advert that I've watched about 400 times. His Radio 4 show, Wang Explaining, is also excellent. And yeah, like I say, he's my nice friend.
Aw, I especially like this episode because Phil's first tweets were incredibly pure. And it reminded me and probably all of us of how carefree we were in those first days of Twitter.
Yes, before it became a screaming cesspit. Oh. So I've been on it quite a lot recently.
Have a listen and check out our Instagram at MightDeleteLaterPod to see the post Phil refers to in the episode. Enjoy the wang.
Have a nice wang time.
So first things first, we're going to do a little feature we do at the beginning of every podcast. What is the thing you would delete this week in the world, Stevie Martin?
No, I want you to go first. Okay. Because I'm going to do one that's like...
Because I have a really good one.
Okay.
Right. If I go into another cafe and ask for vegetarian sausages and they serve me what is effectively mashed potato in a tube, I'm going to kick someone in the neck.
When you go and get, like, I know exactly what you mean, and it's nothing like a sausage.
No, it's just...
You want Linda McCartney... Just go out and get a Linda McCartney...
Yeah. Make it feel like meat. That's why I want it, because I wanted meat and I can't eat meat, so make it feel like meat. Otherwise, that's just potato in a tube with peas in the middle of it, and it makes me sick.
You can see why this is a big ask.
Yeah.
I don't want meat, but I want to be like meat.
I know, but I feel like if we can go to the moon, we can handle that.
Corn! If we can go to corn, we can handle it. Just buy some corn sausages, Phil.
Is corn good enough?
Yes!
It's delicious!
Okay, I like corn a lot, but not from a vegetarian perspective. I like it because it's clean, it's quick, and it's nutritious.
Oh, you really listened to the recent campaign that was like, it's good for you and you can run faster if you eat it.
Really?
That's good, because my wanting to delete thing is very similar to yours, but not the same. It's just in the same family.
Yeah, this is true.
Like you are.
Oh my God, we are from the same family. We are. All three of us. when I'm also vegetarian. In fact, I'm vegan. Don't even ask me about it. But you can if you like. I go and get a vegan roast.
Vegan?
I'm vegan, but I eat eggs. What? I buy very expensive eggs to make myself feel better. That the chickens have like golden buttholes.
Okay.
Wait, do chickens, they don't poop eggs, do they? My thing I would delete...
Apparently the carbon footprint of chicken is negligible. Is
it? Brilliant.
Well, there you go. They've got
my
very tiny
thing
feet.
I would delete is I would... you know when you get a roast dinner... And it's vegan and it's gluten-free or whatever you want. And the meat, you're like, oh, it looks like it tastes like meat. Great. This is going to be like a proper roast dinner.
Yes.
And then they squeeze a jus over it rather than gravy. It's like a coulis.
No, it's like a beetroot juice.
Beetroot juice.
Yeah, it's so annoying. Like,
and it's red and it look, or it's fruity or it's berries.
And you can't get it with a fork.
And it's... That's not what anyone wants in their roast. You want gravy. You don't want jus. And also, jus is nothing. It's just juice.
It's juice. It's savoury juice.
Say, would you like some blackcurrant juice over your roast? And then you'll know how stupid it is that you've even asked me that question.
I thought jus was like, is it like an intense gravy or a light gravy?
Light.
It's
is it light?
Watery.
Watery gravy.
It's watery, fruity,
mess. We just want vegetarian and vegan choices to be better.
Bisto vegetarian gravy is excellent. It is. Bisto, just chicken, pour that over it.
Bisto chicken gravy is suitable for vegetarians.
It's got chicken in it.
No, it's flavoured like chicken, like the pot noodle.
Okay, this is great. Phil, what would you like to delete?
I think I would like to delete the phrase, I won't keep you.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Yeah, last night I was walking down Soho and I walked past, I think it was Soho House, and in the smoking area, just behind a little fence, sat was a friend's brother. And he was sat smoking, and he went, oh, Phil Wang. And I noticed he sat with this very beautiful woman. Mm. And they're just hanging out. And I reach over the fence and I shake his hand like the prince and the pauper. And I just put over these spikes. And I go, oh, this looks dangerous, doesn't it? And I said, how are you doing, man? He said, how are you? And then there's this awkward pause. And he went, well, I won't keep you.
I hate that.
And it's like, I know I'm keeping you.
Yes.
My life is not as nice as your life right now. I'm walking alone down a dirty street.
You just impaled your arm on a spike. You're bleeding everywhere.
Yeah. I've lost an arm. And you're having a lovely cig with a lovely lade. Obviously, I'm keeping you.
Yeah.
So there's
a little power thing there as well. It's like, I won't keep you, because there's like, I'm in control of this conversation. Yeah. I won't keep you. Carry on with your little life, Phil Wang.
Yeah,
and you're
yeah.
like, oh, thank you so much. Yeah. I will. Great.
Also, because this is the awkward pause, it's basically what they're saying is, this conversation is going nowhere,
is
so
over.
I am going to think of a way to stop it.
But I'm
going to
be so magnanimous about
it's
it that
too
I'm
going
to say, I'm not keeping you.
Are you going to say it back to them like, oh, I won't keep you? And you'll be like, no, I'm not keeping you. You just start
fighting.
That way.
Just really make it awkward for everybody.
Yeah, that is a good one. I like that. So before we get into your posts, Phil Wang, that you picked up for us today, you've got three to show us. We're going to ask you a little question. So how do you feel about social media in general? If it was a person, how would you describe it?
I guess as a person, social media is that awful friend who goes, do you know what they said about you?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, ha ha ha. And then when the other person comes, they're like, hey, babe. And then they kiss
yes,
and then move on. And then like,
that's so true.
Do you hear about what they did?
Yeah.
When they leave.
Yeah.
I guess that's...
Like
two social media is a bitchy, your bitchy, superficial friend.
Very yeah. good.
But you like hanging out with them. It gives you a little joie de vivre. There's a frisson about having them around. But you wouldn't trust them.
What does frisson mean? Fish in French?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
What is
poisson.
It?
That's poisson.
Oh, poisson.
Frisson. Not to be confused with poussin, which is a small chicken.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, like, social media is your little pond. Fish and small chicken when they're out. That's what you said. I love it.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Right, we've asked you to pull up your first ever social media post of your choice.
So, first tweet.
What is your first tweet?
Oh.
Slash one of your first tweets. Because you got quite touched and moved and emoted.
I was. I looked these up last night and I started tearing up.
Did you?
So I did a little bit. Because it's just...
Because
it's so
rude.
So innocent.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, they just... They're so offensive. I just started crying.
And how old are you at this point? 2009?
19.
Yeah.
Aww. Which I looked by thinking, yeah, I was pretty grown. Nah.
Yeah, but you're a little baby when you look back at this age, don't you? You're like, I was such a young little sweet person at 19.
A little... Yeah, I was just
so
a little baby
boy.
What
was your first ever tweet?
First ever tweet was... Signing up for Twitter. Bring on the hordes.
Oh, I'm glad there's a D. Yes.
Oh, a D?
As in it sounds like you're going to say bring
on. Oh, right.
Oh, bring I went very hot then. I was like, I've missed that one when I was looking at it. Right.
I was just so cute. I'm just so innocent. Looking back at this last time, I was like, this is strange. Why was I... And none of these tweets have any likes.
No.
And then I realised, oh, I'd linked... my Twitter to my Facebook.
Oh,
yes.
Because
I was still doing Facebook statuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they would just go straight to Twitter.
Yeah.
Which, and I think this puzzled you looking at it. My fourth ever tweet was, need Twitter followers, and then inverted commas, Phil and Wang, my name.
So I was like, why have you done that? Because obviously only the people that follow you are looking at that.
And
you
that's got
dumb
one,
bitch.
Yeah, and that's got one like.
That's like a sympathy like, I think, that one. Someone's been like pepping you up on that one.
Yeah.
Or you've liked it yourself by accident.
One of my favourite ones you did at the beginning was, God, I'm good at thermofluid mechanics.
Yeah, I was studying engineering at the time, so a lot of these are to do with engineering and playing my friend Chris at pool.
Yes, what I love is he just mentions the name Chris quite a lot, but doesn't tag Chris in. We don't know who Chris is. There's one about your exam, and you mentioned how you were saved by Angel Chris.
Oh, no, it was a different guy.
So another university. Chris. No, Greg Dickens.
Greg Dickens,
sorry. Yeah.
Fucked up royal on my first exam, but have since been comforted by an angel in a ski vest called Greg Dickens.
Yes, I mean, he was just a guy at uni who was very, like, a bright, smiley guy, and I'd done very badly in an exam, and I was walking around sad, and he said, "What's wrong?" And gave me a hug.
You did tweet about it.
And I tweeted about it, not at him. I've just presumed everyone knows who Greg Dickens is.
It sounds like you've had some kind of acid trip on that one.
Do you remember when you first started and first, like, got Twitter, how you felt about tweeting? Because I remember being like, well, I guess I'm giving it a go, but I didn't really know what it was for, why I was doing it.
Well, no one did, really.
No. And we just did it because everyone else was doing it, right?
Yeah, I mean, Twitter didn't know what it was for. And it took a while for people to figure out, like, what they wanted. And I remember Ashton Kutcher was the first person to ever hit 1 million followers.
Was it?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big day for Ashton. Jesus Christ.
You basically just tweeted what was, like, in front of your eyes.
Yeah,
what you had
literal.
Just done. Yeah. Like, there's one that where you just go, like, mock time! Because you just done a mock exam. So it's like, an idea of you just walking to your mock exam being like, better let the people know it's mock time.
It felt like Facebook was just King's College Cambridge.
It was because they had a network, so you could only sign up if you were a part of that network and you had a
Email address. It was a subject, and I swear in the time it wasn't as mad as it looks now, and that people were interacting on Facebook and that people were like going, oh yeah, the mock's coming. Have you
But now with
stripped down, thrown onto Twitter, I look lonely and crazy.
So do we all.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, right, we've asked you to also pull up a social media post that you really regret, which I find interesting because it's quite a recent
one. It happened this week.
If you're listening to the podcast, possibly not this week. This will very much date when we recorded the podcast.
Yes.
You will remember this meme/picture/horrific thing.
Yeah, so it's what's just happened in Parliament is that Boris Johnson has ejected 21 MPs and lost his first vote in the Commons, which was for... Oh, the Brexit delay bill, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And there's so photos of Jacob Rees-Mogg lounging on the Commons benches have circulated. And there's one I saw of him, which I liked. It's him sort of quite innocently smiling and looking up at the ceiling. And then I thought, oh, he's such a creepy guy. And that's such a creepy smile. And then so I tweeted that photo with the caption, "When I remember there's crisps in the fridge."
And it's good. You can go, like, we're going to put up all of the Instagram or visual images on our social media feed. So,
go
to our Instagram and have a look at Phil.
And which I think is funny because it's like, I'm also creepy like him. I have crisps in the fridge, and this is a face a creepy person makes.
Yeah, we'll get to the fridge later,
But why do you regret it? Because I saw that when you just posted it, because I have no life and I just stare at your Twitter feed. it came up like when I was on there and I laughed.
No, honestly, it's fine. I was
actually doing something, so I'm fine. I liked it
and
it made me laugh. And I thought no more of it. I just thought, there's Phil banging out some hot content, as ever.
Some hot con. But But a lot of people have taken it at face value and think that I have revealed the terrible secret that I actually keep crisps in the fridge.
People are really upset about the fridge thing.
That. And they're so upset. People have replied going, in the fridge! Even a couple of comedians, which is very disappointing, have gone, come on, Phil, in the fridge. It's a joke! But why? So what's infuriating is the realization that people have this little trust in me.
Yeah.
Or this little imagination. Or think that I am weird and foolish enough to reveal something about myself.
But I don't understand.
Or attempt a meme and...
Because Jacob Rees-Mogg clearly keeps his crisps in the fridge because he's a creep.
Yeah.
Yes.
But obviously you don't.
And I just, and then looking at it, I've just gone, wow. When you remember this crisp in the fridge, should put when you remember this crisp in the fridge.
But that's the thing, it's meant to be a joke and you're not meant to agonise over these things, but what happens is you tend to agonise over them because you get so much of the same response and you're like, it's meant to be taken on face value as a funny thing, but then you feel bad about it, like you want to change it and evaluate like one sentence you wrote as a joke once in your life.
And this is comparatively so low stakes compared to the things that people have tweeted and regretted.
Yeah.
But it's just been playing over in my mind and thinking, because I just kept getting notifications from idiots going, in the fridge, which is the most boring thing. And so I was like, oh, I should just delete it. But then that looks like,
you care.
I've been rumbled.
Yes, yes, yeah. You do keep
which is a far worse thing to do. And then I thought maybe I'd tweet a thing under going, oh, people are fucking idiots. But then that looks like, oh, I've realised I look silly and now I'm going to pretend that it was intentional.
And then everyone will be like, why are you so bothered about it, mate? Blah, blah, blah. You can't win.
At this point, don't we all wish we could go back to mock time and no one likes it?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You can just turn off all the notifications for one tweet. And so I've just not seen anything about
it.
And it turns out life moves on.
It does.
No one is aware of it.
It truly does.
That does say a wider thing about one, because you've obviously got, you've kind of jumped up in your followers. You've got so many now. And so you must get constant responses and constant. So when you were on like Taskmaster, or when you must be constantly, your phone must
bombarded,
be constantly going
yeah.
out off. How has that changed your relationship with Twitter? Do you like it more now you're not shouting into the void, or is it
more stressful?
Right. It's an interesting question, really. The feeling is that I'm peering over an edge that is higher than it was before.
Yes.
You know, so that sense of almost falling over is much more intense than it used to
be. So when you tweet something, you're like, is it going to be okay? That sort of feeling,
a little bit,
mean?
Yeah. And just that, to be reminded sometimes that this many people are actually looking at it can be quite shocking. On the whole, I've learned to let things go more.
That's good.
And that you can't reply to everything. I used to reply to every single thing because I thought it'd be rude not to.
I'm there now. So right. I'm trying to respond to, I've got 50,000 followers and I'm still trying to reply to every DM.
Yeah.
And every, or even comments and stuff, because I feel like if someone said that to me in the street, I
exactly.
should give them the time of
day.
It'd
be weird if you just went, and just,
yeah, just turned
them.
Away.
Yeah.
But I need to get over that.
But it is different.
What
I think
you're
have
doing.
To learn, yeah, you have to learn
if
that
you
it
like
is different.
It, then don't people think?
Yes, I think they do, but I think it's also dependent on what you do. So, like, especially with me, because my work is so to do with the social climate and people's problems and stuff, so I don't get, like, you keep your crisps in the fridge, I get, this horrific thing happened to me, what do you think?
Yeah.
So it's really hard to not respond to everyone, but I'm learning to prioritise better, because I just think you have to for your own mind, otherwise you
Mental health is so important, otherwise you're not going to help anybody.
Imagine like, 5,000 letters a day. You just wouldn't do it. You just couldn't do it. You have to. And it's weird when it changes, though. It does change your relationship, I think, with your phone a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, and it changes your perception of yourself as well. It's not this, you're no longer a person, an individual on social media interacting with other people. You're suddenly this, I don't know if brand is the right word, but you're a...
Yeah, I
conglomerate.
It's...
Oil company.
I guess public figure is the most
yes.
accurate term for it. You're a public figure now, which is different, and so and the rules are different, and what is expected of you is different, and so that's what I'm coming to terms with.
Yes, I heard a quote by Ariana Grande the other day, which I thought was great, and I won't know it verbatim, but she did say
something along the lines of
"Thank you, next." No, she did say that. She said, I understand. She was talking to her followers because they'd got angry about something she'd done. And she said, I understand that when you think about me, you think about me as a picture or a video clip or an outfit.
Yeah.
But you have to remember that I'm not 2D, I'm a 3D person with lots of other stuff going on. And I think when you get to a certain point, people think of you as a snapshot of a person.
I am the
girl in a red suit who is like, I'm going to change the law. That's what I am to people.
Phil
I'm
keeps crisps in the fridge.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Phil is the guy that puts crisps in the fridge.
Yeah.
So you become like a less nuanced version, and therefore the interactions become less nuanced too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yes, yeah.
And exactly. Fun, it's really great. Honestly, it's really great as well, though.
But on a more positive note, what's a social media post that you're like really proud of?
Yeah.
You must have had like a proud one.
Yeah, so this is...
I'm surprised if you don't pick the Tom Hiddleston video.
Oh, I thought about doing that.
Because that's the greatest video I've genuinely ever seen.
Really? Thank you so much. I thought about that, but it seemed maybe obvious because that's my most successful post of anything by far. It's actually like probably the most anyone has seen of me do anything. Because the views got up to 4.5 million
on that video, just on Twitter.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, it's Phil has intercut himself with that creepy Tom Hiddleston video, sort of making it out that Tom is just downstairs in his house. Just go on Twitter and search Phil Wang, Tom Hiddleston.
It's excellent.
And scroll until you find the video. You don't have to scroll very far. People are still talking about it. It's so good. Sorry,
that was just a Sunday in Australia well spent, it turned out.
I mean, really well spent.
Yeah, I mean, it's done more for my career than like a lot of like TV shows and tours and whatever. It's so weird.
Isn't it? This is what Stevie says about the video you did of the time lapse of your tortoise in a spider outfit. She's like, it's the most successful piece of work I've ever done. And it took me 20 minutes.
These things just fall into your lap. Like when someone says, oh, I love the Tom Hiddleston video, even though I put work and like writing, I guess, into it, I don't think of it as like this piece of work.
No, you've done like Radio 4 series, and you've done like full Edinburgh shows that you have to take like 6 months to write, and then you're like, that was just like a bit of fun. But actually, I mean, isn't it great that can do that?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds so precious now for me to speak about it in any terms at all, and I'm really glad that people like it, and I think it is funny. But it just feels like something a nice thing I found on the floor and went, hey guys, look at this.
He is king.
So I'm proud of that video.
What's the one that you're actually proud
of? I guess why I haven't chosen that is that it's not so unique to social media. It was essentially a sketch that I made.
Yes.
A piece of social media that I'm proud of is a series of Instagram posts.
Oh my God, I love this so much.
I did. Where it was just a photo of me looking quite grumpy in a mirror with a hat that says Wang on it. And I've included the hashtag Eurasian Hotties. Because a friend got me onto this this account that is called Eurasian Hotties, and it's a semi-creepy, but I've still not unfollowed them, collection of Eurasian girls in bikinis and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'm also Eurasian, so I'll put the hashtag Eurasian Hotties. And then I realized, oh, wait, I might be now in the collection Eurasian Hotties. So I had a look, and there I am.
You're just in the middle of all these bikini women.
It's a grid of beautiful Eurasian girls in bikinis. And then if you just look to the bottom right corner, there's me, just grumpy in a jacket and a hat.
That says Wang.
And then under that, I've commented, wow, can't believe I haven't been using hashtags this entire time to shove my posts where they don't belong. And then the hashtag I've put that under is Buildings of New York. So then I looked up the hashtag for Buildings of New York, and in a grid of buildings in New York is a smaller grid of Eurasian girls in bikinis with me, if you look really closely in the bottom corner.
It's so good. You've like hacked Instagram, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I went one more and went, so that one, I've commented, ha, 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 and then hashtag veganism. And then so the final one in this series, if you go to veganism, there's this really hard to see grid, like a tiny, tiny grid of Eurasian girls and me in a slightly larger grid of buildings in New York within a larger grid of vegan food and healthy women with long hair.
It's so good.
And then I've commented there, hee hee hee, okay, enough now. And that's where it did end.
That's a hashtag wormhole, and I'm not actually sure that anyone else has done that before.
I haven't heard of that. It's excellent. Just appearing on hashtag grids.
It's so fun.
And going deeper and deeper and deeper. I really enjoyed Buildings of New York, because that wasn't where I was expecting it to go.
No. And there's a real joy. Like, I get a massive joy in using Instagram, especially stories, because it's fairly rudimentary. Like, it's a fairly rudimentary platform. It's like pretty easy. It's like picture, words, hashtag, little pen to draw things on. And if you try and use the format to do something interesting or weird, I really love doing that. Like, I will always try and like do something interesting with a really crappy format.
Stripes, all of your Instagram stories always look so great. Okay, so then the next thing we're going to do is a sort of, it's vaguely quickfire-ish.
Oh, well, yes.
Is that there's a little section that we call follow and follow block, but it's basically what Gina calls...
Well, I call snog, marry, avoid, but I know that's a really British version.
I call shag, marry, kill.
Yes.
You know, snog, marry, avoid. That's a TV show, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was. Jenny Frost. We just discussed this.
Wasn't Ellie Taylor ended up hosting
she
it for a bit?
She was for a bit, yeah. Sure. But basically, yeah, follow and follow block, but it's shag, marry, kill.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you three. We're going to give you three things.
And you have to go real quick. You can't think about it for a second.
Okay.
You have to go boom, boom, boom.
Okay.
Okay. Taskmaster, Live of the Apollo, 8 out of 10 casters countdown.
This is dangerous for me.
I know. Career-wise.
Well, Taskmaster, I can't go back on, so the worst one. So block Taskmaster.
Right.
Because
okay,
I didn't win a single episode.
even in that suit, you would have thought you would.
Not even.
A lot of effort in there.
Unfollow.
Or follow.
Unfollow or follow. Follow. Is it 8 out of 10 cast or 8 out of 10 cast as countdown?
Just countdown, because I think you're really good at the countdown one.
I like enjoy that, but I also want to be on Live with the Apollo again.
Oof.
I'm going to unfollow 8 out of 10 cast as countdown, because I know if Jimmy Carr would hear this, he'd get the joke, because he does roast battle. And follow Live with the Apollo, because we need to support our institutions.
It's so true.
That's very good.
It's so true.
Lovely.
Well, thank you so much, Phil. We won't keep
Philly,
you.
Philly,
lovely stuff. I just got a little tingle down my spine.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you so much.
You're amazing.
Thank you, guys.
Woohoo! So all the bits that you heard from Phil Wang, the first tweet that was too pure, the post he regrets, and also the post he's proud of are all on our Instagram, @mightdeletelaterpod. So go on there and play along.
And also, please go deep into your own grids and tag us in with your embarrassing early Instagram posts. Or if you want to reply to yourself on Twitter, I'm
please
up
do
for
that
it.
Too.
We will definitely repost our favourites onto our own grids.
And remember, don't get too precious about what you post online. It's meant to be fun and you'll want those memories one day. But hey, if you're really worried, then you might as well delete later. Bye!
Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.